We are thankful that the Lord has allowed us to be here this evening, and I hope you had a good day, that you had the right mindset for a new week that's before you, and hopefully this lesson will help. And also, I want to continue to thank everyone who has congratulated Grace and given cards and just all the support. We thank you very much, and we really do appreciate that. And also don't forget that we have several things coming up. I know it was in the announcements, but I'm going to try to remember every time I'm in front of you, everything we have, VBS and the summer series especially. June is a busy month. We've got a men's work day. It's a fifth Sunday. So we've got a lot going on. Start making plans to be a part of that if you would. Now, lesson this evening is, you know, as a preacher, one of the privileges that I have is I get to help people with their problems. Many Christians and non-Christians, by the way, confide with me. They tell me their struggles, and in that I can share my struggles with them. And you know, so I get to spend time with people quite often. And I would say that in that, what I've learned over the years of preaching, that if I would make a list, that maybe the top struggle that's the most common is something to the effect of, you know, how do I maintain my faith, right? And, you know, and it usually comes in one way or another, in the form of a question, you know, how do I defeat sin? How do I stay strong? How can I grow in my faith? And so in answering this reoccurring question, many times in the past, what I do is I talk about the biblical therefore. Right? Many times we'll get a wonderful teaching, and the very next word that you go to, the Bible say therefore. Right? So wonderful teaching, therefore, do this. And so we see that throughout Scripture, and usually I try to find the right place in helping them with whatever the issue, the struggle is. And so I'm always looking for a better way to answer that. I'm always looking for a more in-depth understanding of my part to help them see God's answer. You know, because many times we just struggle, and I have this on the screen, of course, Hebrews 12:12-15, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So, of course, the writer here is talking about accepting the chastening of the Lord before that, so therefore, right? And this is just an interesting passage here about those who struggle with their faith, right? And the imagery here, right? The hands are hanging down and feeble knees. And so we get the answer. And again, so I'm always looking for a better way to answer those questions. And so I begin by saying, live in the therefore. And one of the therefores that I was just studying recently is from 1 Peter chapter 5, and I forgot I had this up there, right, this wonderful therefore, chapter 12, 1 and 2, right, we get the great chapter of faith, chapter 11, and then Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 tells us, therefore, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, right, so another example of living in the therefore. But I was studying 1 Peter chapter 5, so this will be our main study text or scripture reading earlier. And so I'm here studying 1 Peter. Get to chapter 5, of course, about how to defeat Satan. And I'm reading verses 8 and 9 to start off. Be sober, be vigilant. because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And so we have that, and then we come to verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And I am reading out of the New King James here. And so he gives us, I see four things here we're being told that God gives his people. Right? He tells us that, of course, even after he says, after you've suffered a while, right, he's going to do these four things, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So, and again, I'm always looking for ways, looking for good news in the Bible, those things that we can really, you know, hang our hats on. And so I see these four things here. And I see the answer to many of the questions that I get, questions I have also, and struggles, just right here in this text, verses 6 through 10, 1 Peter chapter 5. And so this lesson here, I want us to think about, and we're gonna break down verse 10 here in just a moment, but I want us to see what God gives his children. Right, and so, you know, I'm all about context. Let's back up here and understand a little bit of context of what's going on in 1 Peter. Right, a good way to remember Peter, 1 Peter is the book of consolation or the book of coping. Brother Webster says it's the book of hope for those struggling to cope. And I love those descriptions. And so, you know, he begins the book here. And, you know, it's almost like the brethren that Peter's writing to, that they're kind of asking the same questions. How do I defeat sin? How do I maintain my faith? You know, how do I grow in my faith when I'm going through some difficult things in my life? And specifically for them, a lot of persecution. Right, so same kind of questions. And so God, through agency of the Holy Spirit, Peter, I want you to write this down for me, and it's going to answer those questions. Right, same questions that we have today. And so the context, I think, is important to kind of gather some of that before we get to chapter 5, verse 10. Right, he's consoling Christians here. And chapter 1, 6, and 7, we see the purpose statement of the book. Right, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I think that's the purpose statement of the book. And then he goes on talking about holy conduct, pleasing to God, right? And be holy. And he's going to quote Leviticus 11:44, right? Be holy for I am holy. And he hit into chapter 2, just some of the highlights here, right? Remember to offer verses 4 and 5, offer up spiritual sacrifices to God as a holy and separate people, as a chosen generation, verse 9, God's own special people. You've been called out of darkness to praise him in marvelous light. And what you see again and again and again, we won't read it, the answer to struggle and persecutions and problems, and this is a hard pill to swallow sometimes, what you see throughout 1 Peter is submit, submit, submit. Be submissive, be submissive, be submissive. Right? And that takes a particular mindset. Lord, I'm going through bad times, persecution, struggles. You want me to be submissive? And he says, yes, that's the answer. Right? And you remember we did a lesson about this a while back titled Slave's Apron. Now, how are you going to defeat this hungry, roaring lion? Well, be humble, right? That's the idea of putting on a slave's apron. Lord, you want me to defeat this powerful enemy that wants to destroy me by putting on a slave's apron? The answer is yes. And so what a wonderful, powerful teaching throughout the book of 1 Peter. And so that's the context here. And, you know, he's really given us something to think about. You know, brethren who really need consolation. And so we get to chapter 5. Right, chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders, right? So submit. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. That's where we got the slave's apron from. We broke down that language, if you remember that lesson. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now here's our therefore. Therefore, humble yourselves. That's the answer. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, in verses 6 through 10, we see some actions, we see some results. Right? Just kind of a side note, if you're taking notes here, right? He's basically telling us, you know, if we can do these things, right? Clothe yourself in humility, cast your cares upon him, be sober, be vigilant, right? Resist the devil. Remain steadfast in your faith, and remember that we're not alone in this. Right? If we can hold on and do these things, God says, I will give you something to help you. Right? After Peter writes, we've suffered for a while. Why does God allow us to suffer? Remember chapter 1, really verses 5 through 10. It's a refining process. It's good for you. Right? God's not about making you happy. He's about making you holy. Right? Be holy, for I'm holy. And that process of sanctification or being made holy, it's tough. But God's about you being holy and not happy. Because you're not happy going through that suffering, but he knows what's good for you. He loves you enough to let you go through what you need to go through so your faith will remain intact until the end. And if you do that, he said, I'll give you these four things in verse 10. So let's look at these four things here that we have in our text, 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. He says, number one, I'll perfect you. Right? And of course, keep it in context. You got to humble yourself first. And this is all by and through the grace of God. He will perfect you. Now, I'm sure you've heard me say many, many times, whenever we read in our English Bible, most of the time, you see the word perfect or perfect. It's the Greek word teleos, which means growing in God's design direction. That's not this word. That's not the word that Peter uses here. But I want you to think, before we talk about what this word means, but I want you to think, have you ever restored something? Old car, piece of furniture, something like that. Have you ever restored something to be like new? Right, whatever it is that you had to restore, maybe just through use, maybe neglect, abuse, just normal wear and tear, whatever, right? It used to be new, and you used it enough or abused it enough where it's just worn out. But you redid it, you remade it, you restored it. Well, that's the first word here. These four things. The first thing that God gives us and does for us. Now the word here that the New King James, I'm pretty sure King James, and I know New American Standard, all translate perfect. Again, it's not that teleos word, but it's katarizo. And this word is used 13 times in the New Testament. And it can mean to adjust, to knit together, to unite completely. This same word is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined, there's that word, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And again, it's used in Hebrews 11 and verse 3, it's where we read, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed, that's our word, framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And then here in Luke 6, we see this word in verse 40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained, that's that same word, will be like his teacher. And so, you know, it's this idea of being restored, being repaired, right? So God is giving us this. I find that very interesting. So in the context here, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, we see that God's wants to restore us, right? And sometimes this life, we get a little bit abused. We get a little bit worn out. But if I humble myself and I accept the grace of God, the first thing he wants to give me is restoration. He wants to restore me, repair me completely to where I need to be. And really, is that not the main theme of the entire New Testament, if not the entire Bible? You got a sin problem, sin destroys. Jesus came and saved us. You know, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and it's through his blood we can be restored. Like we talked about this morning, the removal of that guiltiness of sin. We can be restored, and what wonderful news. But number two, there in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, he will establish you. You know, when you build a house, what's usually the first thing that you do? Normally, we lay some kind of foundation. Many times, normally it's a concrete foundation. And you do that because you want something solid and movable to build on. And so that's the idea of this word here. And I find it such an interesting word. The Greek word thymaleo, it's to lay a foundation. That's what this word means. And it's used five times in the New Testament. We see it first in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 25. You probably know the verse very well. Rain descended, floods came, winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Right, so there's our word, founded. And some translation might even say established. I didn't double check that. Hebrews 1 verse 10, writer speaking of the creation of the world, writes, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the world." Again, we see this word in Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 23. "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." So there's our word. And so we've been promised in the use of this word that we will be rendered firm or strong, unwavering. Right? And this is meant, I believe, to absolutely encourage us. Right, knowing that Jesus is a rock, he is our foundation, right? He's the cornerstone. As we read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, right? Paul writes, I write these things so that you know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground or foundation of truth. Right? So our God, if, back in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, if you will humble yourself with his grace, he will establish you. All right, number three, God says he will strengthen us. Now, I want you to remember that our God cannot lie. When he makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. Right? That's why Abraham is called the father of the righteous. God made a promise, I believe it, and it was credited to him. And so God, he says, I'll give you these things, right? And the thing here, this third thing, he says, I will strengthen you. And this particular word in the original language, stheno, and to my knowledge, it's the only place in the entire New Testament where this very unique particular Greek word is used, and it means just what it says, to impart strength. And so I think a good question is, you know, why do I need more strength? Well, I mean, if you just look at the context here in 1 Peter 5, right, you got the devil. He's walking around like a roaring lion. He wants to devour you. Right? There's a very important reason. And he's seeking to destroy you. And if I care about the consequences of Satan devouring me, then I need to care about my defenses against him. And so understand this, Satan is not deity, right? He's not equal to God, all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present, that's deity. Only God is that. A lot of people misunderstand. They think Satan's God, but just an evil God. He's on the same plane level as God. No, absolutely not. He's powerful. Don't underestimate him, but he's not deity. So he can't read your mind. But what he does do, we learn, James chapter 1, for example, is he learns really well. He knows what enticement you fell for in the past. It's like, that's what gets Sean. So that's what I'm going to use against Sean, which may or may not work against you. And so by observing me, watching and learning what led me to sin in the past, right? He said, that's what I'm going to use against Sean. And so I need strength to take that which entices me and make those thoughts captive to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, let me read verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Remember God said, humble yourself, and I will exalt you? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Right? You see, our Lord gives us the strength to defeat that which will destroy us. One more passage here, then we'll go to our final point. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, another therefore passage, wish we had time to look at this. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So therefore, if I humble myself, and by God's grace, he will strengthen me. Number four. God will settle us. And again, this word I found 13 times in the New Testament, this very particular Greek word. And it means to set in a certain direction. And it's similar to the word establish, but it's different. And we see this word in Luke 9 and verse 51. You know, when Jesus was set to go to Jerusalem, I think New American Standard says he set his face to go to Jerusalem, right? He was determined, he was going to go and accomplish what he needed to accomplish on the cross. That's this word. He was going. Nothing's going to stop him. Luke, the 16th chapter, and about verse 26, it is, verse 26, and Jesus talking about the rich man of Lazarus, that great gulf was fixed. That's that word. It was settled. And look at the 22nd chapter. Let me go ahead and read this. In verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. That's that word. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Right? Jesus uses this word here concerning Peter's faith should not fail. Now, if you remember here in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, what exactly it was that was to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us, again, it's the grace of God. Right? It is the God who gives grace. Right, and grace being that which we do not deserve, but we absolutely need. The grace that was offered to those who by obedience came to God on his terms. Right, just in this context here in 1 Peter 5, by clothing ourselves in humility, right? Casting our cares upon him. Why would I do that? Well, I'm only going to do it if I trust him. Right, I start to lose that mindset, God, I'll take care of this. Right, and when we come to that point of casting our cares before him, it's at that point in our faith, hopefully we understand that I can't do this on my own. Right, and sometimes we have to be driven to our knees to look up and just turn it all over to God. Why? Well, the last part of that verse says, for he cares for you. Right. And again, being sober, being vigilant, resisting the devil, remaining steadfast in our faith, and remembering that we're not alone in all of this. All of those things, and in this, God settles us. Right? He sets us in the proper position, the proper direction. And so what do I learn here from our text? Here's our conclusion. These words here are meant to comfort us, to console us. Right? It was written to a people that were going through great suffering, great struggles, a refining process. And over again, the answer is submit, submit, submit. Be submissive, be submissive, be submissive. And that will bring us to that point where we're humbling ourselves before God so that he will lift us up by his grace to give us these wonderful things here. Right, he will perfect you. Right, he's going to repair and restore you. He will establish you. He will help you lay that immovable foundation of strength. He will impart strength to you to help you defeat a powerful and very deceitful enemy that wants to destroy you. Then number four, he's going to settle you. He will set you in the right and proper direction. So we need to use these words here that God gives us through Peter to comfort us, to help us, because the truth of the matter is the alternative is just too dangerous. So this evening, if you are here and you've never obeyed the gospel, that's where the journey begins. Right? It's not easy. God never said it would be. As a matter of fact, he said you better count the cost. As a matter of fact, you better be willing to bear your cross daily because it's not easy. And if you're willing to do that and you're willing to approach the Lord through the standards that he's given concerning the gospel and put on Christ in baptism, we'd love to help you with that. If you're kind of still confused, want to sit down and look at that, we would love to. Absolutely love to sit down and open up the Word of God, let you read it for yourself, what God says. So that's available, and again, it's available anytime, right? I mean, if you call at 2 in the morning, someone will be here, but we can get you into this water. Doesn't it have to be this water? We'll find some water to baptize you into Christ. But if you've done that, fall away, you want to start over, let's take care of that. If you need any encouragement, let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.